years of marriage the other day. And, you know, if it wouldn't have been that her and I were committed to each other, we probably would never have made it because of some things that have went on in our lives and things like that. But, you know, on this Father's Day, I feel that we need to look at a father in the Bible and how that he was committed to do what he needed to do to raise a good family. And, you know, in our society today, we have a lot of women who are raising families. And this can not only go for men, but it also could be for ladies as well. But I want to look this morning at the attributes of a father. And if you take, if you're in the Bible, the Matthew chapter 1, that's where we're going to be. We're going to be flopping around in here a little bit. But Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was this wise, when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately." Now, Joseph was a lover. I believe that men need to have love for not only their wife, but also for their children. They need to be lovers. You know, I think that's one of the things that we're missing in life is the love relationship between a father or a husband and their wife or their mother or whatever. But Joseph, he loved Mary a lot. You know, in the days of the Bible, a young man, when he became engaged to a young lady, they would, the man would leave. He would just leave. I mean, now think about this, girls. If you had a ring on your finger, a diamond, a big diamond rock, and all of a sudden your fiance took off and you didn't see him for a year, what would you think? And that's usually what happened. Is all of a sudden a young lady would get engaged to a young man and the young man would leave. He'd be gone. Can you imagine that, Joe? Your boyfriend all of a sudden just gone, you know? You're going, "Oh, I can't text him. I can't call him on the phone. I can't email him. Oh, no, what am I going to do?" Right? I mean, back then they didn't have that. But the young man would leave, and even today in Jewish tradition, many men will do this. They will go away, and they will make enough money, and they will prepare a house so that when they come back, they get their bride, and they go and they live for 1 year, and he never has to work. What a honeymoon. I wish I could have done that. Wouldn't that be cool? Just you and him for 1 year. Just think how you could get to know him. Pick up your socks. Don't you leave your socks laying on the floor, right? You know, you get to know each other very well, but that's the way it was back then. They would leave. They would make enough money so that they could be on a honeymoon for a whole year, just the two of them. You know, Joseph had heard or was told by Mary that she was expecting a child. Now, I can see this happening. You know, things like that, you know, didn't happen much in those days. However, I can see here that here he was preparing a place for the two of them. He was gone. All of a sudden, he comes home one day, and she says, "Hi, honey, guess what?" And he says, "What?" He says, "I'm pregnant." Now, I don't know about you, but if I would have been Joseph, my jaw would have dropped. "What do you mean you're expecting a child? Whose is it? It ain't mine. I've been gone making money so that we could have a honeymoon for a whole year, and here you are, and I come walking in, and you say that you're expecting a child. Whose is it?" "Well, it's of God." Do, 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 do. Right? What do you mean it's of God? Yeah, it's of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was Joseph, I would think to myself, she's lying. She's not telling the truth. Right? I mean, think about that. You know, it just didn't happen that people got expecting by not having two together. You know what I mean? So here we see all of a sudden he goes, well, what am I going to do? You know, what am I going to? I love her so much. She is the love of my life. She's the only one I ever wanted. And now she's expecting. I'm going to put her away. That's what they did. They would take a woman, and if she was expecting, they would take and put her into a home, and she would be there until she had the baby. The baby would be adopted out, or you know, something that way, and then they would go on and they would live their lives. You know, back in the 1940s, 50s, that's the way it was even in the United States. If a young lady would get have an unexpected child, many times they were taken to a home, they had the baby there, the baby was adopted out, and that's the way it was. Well, he didn't want people making fun of Mary. He was going to do everything in his power because he loved her so much that nobody would ridicule her for what was going on. You know, Joseph loved Mary so much that he was going to do the honorable thing and allow her to carry the child without fear of everybody making fun of her, calling her all kinds of names, which would have happened. And he didn't want her to be a public nuisance. Now, we need fathers today who love their wives that way. You know, over and over again, I see and I hear people wanting to split up and call it quits. There was a study done not too awful long ago that I just read in the Sword of the Lord of the quote-unquote evangelical Christians who are going through divorces. It's at an alarming rate. It is somewhere in the area of 60%. 60% of evangelicals are going through divorce today. Why? Because there's not the love relationship there that there should be between a husband and a wife. You know, when the storm of wind of life come blowing in, you know, we feel that it's easier to call it quits many times instead of trying to stick together. I'm in the process of writing a book, and I've got the first two chapters done, and I'm working on the third chapter. And the title of the book is this, What Parents Forgot. What Parents Forgot. And the book is, in fact, I'm going to be teaching through the book. Probably within the next couple weeks, we're going to start it on a Sunday night, and we're going to go through the whole thing on a Sunday evening. But one of the things that parents have forgotten is the love relationship they need to have with their children. You know, there's an awful lot of families today where there is not that love relationship like it should be with your children. I can remember when when Carol and I first started having our children, I remember the day that Dion was born. I was in delivery with him. I was all gowned up and had my gloves on and everything, and they delivered the baby and they handed her to me. And the first three words out of my mouth was, I love you. And there was not a day that went by, but what I didn't tell my kids that I loved them. And you know, there was a love relationship that built that way by me telling them that I love them. You know, you can walk up and you can say, I love you. You know what I mean? But that's really not a love relationship. A love relationship is a relationship that you have, which is an agape love or a deep abiding love, one that you would die for that person. You know, that's the kind of relationship or the love relationship that we need with our wives, that we need with our children. And I believe if we could get that love relationship, we wouldn't have the problems we do today with our children. You know, I would love to see families when you walk into the house, when mom and dad would sit down, and instead of this here going on with your kids, they put the phone down and say, "Love you." And you have a relationship of talking back and forth. You know, that's the type of thing that we need. We need to have a love relationship with our children. We need to have a love relationship. When was the last time that you and your wife went out on a date? My wife and I, we went out on a date Friday night. We had a really good date night. And we've done this for years. And you know what? I think that's one of the reasons why we've stayed together for 44 years. Is that we have that relationship where her and I can get together and just go out and talk. You know, one of the things that happens in our relationships today is we don't have communications with each other, do we? You know, how often do you sit down with your kids and have a talk? You know, how often do you sit down and say, "Hey, how was your day today at school? How was your day today? What did you do today?" You know, people like to share what they've done that day. People like to share what they've, you know, happened. I can remember when Denise was growing up, and Denise was one of these informants. You know, Denise, you hated to ask her how her day was. You did. I did. You know, I would pick her up from school. We lived 12 miles from school. I would pick her up at school, and I go, "Well, how was your day?" And she would start from when I dropped her off at school that morning, and she told me everything that happened throughout that whole day, including the time she went to the bathroom. Now, that was my daughter, Denise. Now, Deanna, on the other hand, you'd ask her how her day was. You okay? No, I want to know how your day was. How was your day? How was chemistry? How was algebra? It was fine. Yeah, listen, that's not communications. We need to take and have a good communication. If you want a love relationship with your children or with your spouse, you need to sit down and talk with them. You know, we have far too many people who are married today who feel that they no longer love each other. Why? Because they don't have communications with each other. You know, we need men who are going to love their wives just as Joseph loved Mary. Not only that, but look at chapter 1, verse 20. It says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Verses 24 and 25 say, "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus." What I find in here is that Joseph was obedient. Look what it says. He had a dream. All of a sudden, here's the angel of the Lord coming and appearing to him and saying, "Hey, buddy, listen, don't be afraid of taking her for a wife. Even though she's expecting, even though it's not yours, don't be afraid of taking her for a wife." Now, I don't know about you, but if all of a sudden I was woke up in the middle of the night and an angel was there, I don't know what an angel looks like, but if there was one there, you know, maybe he had a sign on him. "Hi, I'm an angel." I don't know. But anyway, he knew it was an angel. And he woke him up. He said, "Hey, don't be afraid of taking her for a wife." Now, I want you to notice that Joseph loved Mary, and he had made up his mind that he was going to put her away because of the condition that she was in. And this angel gave him some very, very important words. I want you to look at two words in verse 20. It says, let's see here. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, speaking, Joseph, thou son of David. What's the next two words? What is it?
Fear not.
Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. You know, I think in, if I was Joseph, I would be a little afraid of taking her for a wife. After all, she wasn't too true to me. You know what I mean? Now, he says, fear not to be the daddy of her son and raise him. Fear not that he's going to, the going is going to get tough. Fear not that people might make fun of you and her. Don't be afraid of what's happening. You know, Joseph did just as the angel had bidden him to do. You know, Joseph was obedient to what God wanted him to do. You know, we need to have fathers who are obedient to what God has called them to do. How many of you are fathers in here today? Raise your hand. How many of you, keep your hands up, how many of you have never had any problems whatsoever in life since you've been a father? Put your hands down if you've never had a problem. Dominic, put your hand back up. No, I'm just kidding. Listen, we've all had problems, haven't we? It was not an easy road once we became a father. And you know what? That's what the angel's telling Joseph. Hey, fear not, man. Don't sweat it. Take her to be your wife. Be a good dad to him. However, you're going to have some problems. You're going to have pitfalls. You're going to have things that come up in your life. But you need to be obedient and do what you're called to do. You know, and I get really kind of upset once in a while. It was about 4 years ago. I was sitting in my office, and this lady walked in my office, and she said, I want you to take my children. I said, what? She goes, I want you to take my three children and raise them. I've had it. I said, you're kidding. She goes, no, I'm serious. I want you to raise my children. Because I can't do it. Ooh. I said, I want them. Uh-uh. No. I raised mine. I'm not raising yours. Listen, we have so many parents that have children that they do not want. They don't want to be obedient as a parent to raise those children. You know, we need fathers who will be obedient to what God has called them to do. You know, there are men in this room today that God has called to be preachers, believe it or not. Missionaries, Sunday school teachers. But most of all, there's men in this room who God has called to be good fathers. You know, we need to be the men that God has handpicked to do the work that he wants us to do. You know, Joseph was obedient to God. Why? Because he was told to what? Fear not. You know, one of the greatest difficulties in life is fear. You know, how many of you have ever had a situation where all of a sudden you come up and you go, oh, I can't get through this. I can't get through this. I can't do this. I can't. Why? Because we get afraid. We get afraid of what might happen. Well, if I do this might happen. Or if I do that, this might happen. How many of you have ever been there? I have. I'm there almost every day saying, oh, man, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? we become fearful of what we're supposed to just go out and step out on blind faith and do. But most of us don't want to do that. Most of us don't want to do what God has called us to do because we're afraid that we might follow up. You know, how many of you feel that you have been the ideal 100% father that you possibly could have been? Raise your hand. Oh, there's no hands in here. You mean to tell me that you have messed up somewhere in your life raising your children? Wow. I figured this morning I'd ask that question. Everybody's hand would go up. Yeah, I've been the perfect dad. Right? Listen, if there has been a follow-up, it's been me raising my children. You know, the things that I thought, oh, yeah, we can take and do this. Yeah. That was wrong. Messed it all up. You know, listen, we should not be afraid of failure. We should just go ahead and do what God has called us to do. And if we don't do it the way He wanted us to do it, well, then guess what? We'll have to do it over next time, won't we? Just be obedient. And God said, I'll do the rest. Fear not. Take her to be your wife. Don't sweat the little things, and I'll take care of the rest. You know, if there's anybody who had problems in life, it was Joseph. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. To be happy in Jesus is to what? Trust and obey. The third thing is this. You know, Joseph was an honorable man. In Luke chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, it says, And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Listen, Joseph was an honorable man. He paid what he owed. After all, he was going up to be taxed. You know, here we see all the people of the land going back to their home city to be taxed. Joseph, being an honorable man, went to pay what he owed. You know, if anyone should have stayed home, it should have been Joseph. After all, he has a wife who is pregnant. Not only is she pregnant, but she is 9 months pregnant. Amen? You ladies know what I'm talking about. You can hardly move. And now think about this. Bethlehem is a 3-day journey. Mary's 9 months pregnant. So you know what Joseph does, being the honorable man he is? He saddles a donkey and says, Here you are, honey. Didn't get a cart for her to lay in. Didn't get it. He put her on a donkey. And here goes this donkey down the path. Now, I'm sure that this donkey did not step over every rock that it came to. I'm sure that that donkey did not miss every pothole there was in the road. You know? Here she's 9 months pregnant. If anybody should have stayed home, it should have been Joseph. Yeah. I mean, wow. I mean, you know, what would have happened if she would have went in labor on the way? Oh, no, I'm going to have to deliver myself. Call the EMTs. Right? Now in the middle of nowhere, all by yourself. You know, if anybody should have done the unhonorable thing, it should have been Joseph. I mean, why in the world would he take a 9-month pregnant lady 3 days on a donkey? You know, there was no 4-lane highway. It was just a path. Yeah, I know. But you know, Joseph could have said, you know, I'm not going to go to Bethlehem. Caesar's going to have to get along without my taxes this year. You know, we need honorable men who are going to take and pay the debts they owe. We need men who will work for an honest day's wages and not grumble about having to work a little overtime. We need men who will pay the government the money that they owe them in taxes and not try to cheat. You know, my dad always said this, I never mind paying taxes at the end of the year. And I used to look at him and say, are you out of your mind? And he says, no, he says, I don't mind paying taxes at the end of the year. I said, why? He says, because that means that I made some money this year. That's true. I haven't had to pay taxes for a long time. That must mean I have never made any money. Amen. Anyway, but we need honorable men who give to God that which what they have promised that they would give him, and God wants him to. You know, we need honorable men who will do what's right before an almighty God. You know, Joseph was a lover, he was obedient, he was an honorable man. But not only that, but if you're in Matthew, go to chapter 2, verses 13 and 14 for just a minute. But he was also a protector. Joseph was also a protector. In Matthew 2, 13 and 14, it says, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, now, by the way, this is the same angel that had appeared to him about taking her as a wife, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. Here we see once again the same angel that appeared to him the first time, and that's why he knew it was the angel of the Lord. It was the same person. You need to take the young child and go into Egypt. I want you to stay there until I come back and tell you to return. And as soon as he got up, he took his wife and his young child, and they fled to Egypt. Now, I want you to think about this for just a minute. Here is a young man who has a wife with a baby, and he's told to flee, not go, flee to Egypt. The word flee there in the Hebrew or in the Greek means this: leave immediately. Leave immediately, without haste. And so here's this angel. He says, I want you to flee. I want you to get out of here now. Bug out. How many of you have a bug out plan? Anybody? This morning on the news, I'm looking, I go, I know that woman. It was Lene Austin. Lene runs all these community gardens around the area. Anyway, I looked at her and I go, I know her. What the world is she doing on news this morning, you know? I thought maybe she got arrested for something. No, I didn't think that. But anyway, I went and I'm watching her, and she's going over what you need in a bug-out bag. I'm thinking, Lene, what are you talking about, bugging out? And here she's got two great big knapsacks. One of them she could hardly pick up. She goes, I have enough of everything in here for 24 hours. And I'm thinking, 24 hours, if I'm going to bug out, I want a whole trailer full so I've got enough for at least 30 days. Amen? And but anyway, she was going on to say about bugging out and this and that. Well, here's, and people think, well, you know, they're just talking about that today. Here's Joseph. All of a sudden, this angel says, Joseph, you've got to bug out, man. Now, you got to leave. Immediately, because Herod is hunting down your child. All of a sudden, the Bible says that he got up immediately and left. He got up, he took Mary, he took the baby, and they went to Egypt. Now listen, he knew nobody in Egypt. He didn't have a job when he got down to Egypt. They didn't have any food when they got down to Egypt. They knew absolutely nothing about Egypt. Nothing. And yet, I believe that he remembered two words that was told to him by this angel before. Fear not. Fear not. Don't be afraid to go down there. I will take care of you. You know, many times God tells us to do something. Guess what? We get fearful of what we should do. He remembered what had just happened in his life. Now think about this for just a minute. His wife had just had a baby who was not his. The night of the birth, they're in the stable. All of a sudden, here comes these shepherds. Think about that. Here comes the shepherds. How'd the shepherds know? Oh, the angels told us. Heavenly host sang. He's going, wow, I remember that. And then, wait a minute. 8 days, we took him to the temple to get circumcised. And this old guy prophesied to us about his birth. Wow. But that wasn't the best part. All of a sudden, these wise men from the east came and they gave us all this stuff. Listen, Joseph remembered that. And he thought, you know what? If God can take care of us through that, he can take care of us in Egypt. I'm going to take Mary, I'm going to take the baby, and I'm going to protect them the very best I can, even if it means going to a land that I don't know nothing about. You know, he's thinking maybe there's someone who's a better protector that's going to take care of us than what I am. You know, we need fathers who are going to protect their children today. Protect them against the movie scene, the music scene, the clothes that the world wears, the language, the drugs, the sex scene, the booze, most of all, the internet. Listen, it's our duty as fathers to protect our children. We need to put a hedge of protection around them, and we need to know what they're doing. I happened to see something on TV yesterday. I was flipping through the channel and something came up, and they were talking about exploited children. Kids that are taken and never found. In California, Arizona, Texas, and New Mexico, there are thousands of children taken every year that are not reported. You say, well, how can that be? The parents are warned if they ever report it, they will die. Thousands. Listen, fathers, you need to protect your kids. You need to protect your children from what's out there. Not only that, but the last thing I see about this is found in Luke chapter 2, verses 42 and 40, or 41 and 42. Joseph was a spiritual man. Now his parents, speaking of Mary and Joseph, went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. Listen, Joseph knew he had to be a spiritual leader for his family. He was the father of the family. It was his responsibility to bring up his children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Joseph made sure that his kids were in church. Amen? You know, we need fathers who will make sure that they are the spiritual leaders of their family. You know, that they make the decisions of what church they're going to go to. And they need to be there when the church doors open. You know, We have many dads who will not be the spiritual leader, or do not want to be the spiritual leaders of the family. Why not? After all, God gave you that responsibility. He gave you the responsibility to be the head of the family. That means you need to be the spiritual leader of that family as well. We need spiritual leaders in our family, men who will take the bull by the horns and say, "We're going to church today, whether you like it or not." Amen? You know, when I was growing up, it didn't make any difference how old I was. I was not given a choice. I was married. My wife and I were married. And I was not given a choice if I was going to be in church or not. One Sunday night, I'll never forget it. And I've used this many times. My wife and I had been married for 2 years. 2 years. One Sunday night, we decided we were not going to church because we were tired. We had been on a picnic all that afternoon, and we were sunburned and we were tired. So we stayed home. We had our own apartment. We weren't under mom and dad's wing anymore. 8 o'clock. I looked at Carol and I said, "I wonder who that is." She says, "That sounds like your dad's knock." And I'm going, "You go answer it." She goes, "Uh-uh, you go answer it." I walked to the door and I just opened the door a little bit. He looked at me and he says, "You're not dead." I said, "No, sir." "Why weren't you in church?" "I'm a little sunburned." "That is no excuse." He says, "The only reason you cannot be in church is if you're there in a coffin. And if you're not there next Sunday, you may be." "Yes, sir." You know what? We didn't miss Sunday evening service after that. We never missed Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night. My dad, even though we were married, even though we had our own life, even though we were out of the house, he still made sure we were in church. That is a spiritual leader. That's a spiritual leader. Listen, I appreciated my dad doing that later in life. I didn't that night, but I did later on. Why? Because it instilled in me, to instill in my children the importance of being in God's house when the doors were open. I can tell you right now, it's 11 o'clock here. It's 2 o'clock, 2 o'clock in Georgia. It's 1 o'clock in Wisconsin. Dion got out of church at noon. Denise got out of church at noon, and I know that both of them were in church this morning. Why? Because it was instilled in them by a spiritual leader. They need to be in church on Sunday morning. When I talked to Denise this morning, I said, "What are you doing today?" She said, "Well, you know, we start church now at 5 o'clock on Sunday night." So she said, "By the time Scott gets home from the bus route, it's going to be 2 o'clock in the afternoon. By the time he gets home, we'll have lunch. We'll do a couple things around the house, and we got to be right back to church by 4 o'clock for choir practice." Wow. Why do they do that? Why in the world would they ever do that? Why would they spend their whole day around church? Because they had a spiritual leader that taught them that. Listen, If you can't get anything out of this message today, get this. You need to be the spiritual leader of your family. You need to teach your kids the importance of being in church and listening to the Word of God. If you don't, I guarantee the world's going to have them. The world's going to have them. The internet's going to have them. The TV's going to have them. Other things are going to have them in the world. And they're going to be lost. We need spiritual leaders in our families. We need spiritual leadership that fathers would be proud of later on in life. We need spiritual leaders who on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night will say, hey, you know what? We're going to church. You know, we as men of God and the heads of the house need to look at the attributes of Joseph, and we need to bring some of them into our own lives. After all, we need to be men of love. We need to be men of obedience. We need to be men of protection. We need to be men of honor. And we need to be spiritual men of God. If we can do that, I guarantee that our families are going to take and turn out a whole lot better than what the last generation has. Amen? We need the attributes of Joseph. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. We thank you for your love. We thank you for all that you've done for us.